It's 6:30.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to have a great time here tonight. Hello, Mr. Edwards. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How you doing today? Beautiful day here in the Twin Cities, and we're enjoying ourselves at the headquarters of the Minneapolis Television Network on the banks of the beautiful Mississippi.
Yes. It was a beautiful day today, too, here in Minneapolis. For international listeners, tonight, starting at 7 p.m., we are going to be broadcasting live and also televised on a live stream at the Minneapolis Television Network, the 2010 Minnesota 5th Congressional District debate. Our participants tonight are Lynn Torgerson, running as a state woman, Thomas Shrump, Independent Party, and Michael Kavlin, Independent Progressive. At this point, the DFL and incumbent Congressman Keith Ellison has declined to participate, and also Joel Demos, the GOP-endorsed candidate. But we're going to have each of the candidates that are participating to come up and have a conversation with us.
Well, you know, I was looking forward to the participation of the incumbent two terms of United States Representative Keith Ellison, because I certainly wanted to hear some of his perspectives on the events taking place in the Muslim world. In that he is one of only two Muslims in the United States House of Representatives, I thought he would be to bring a perspective that would help us get a better understanding of what is happening in the Middle East right now, particularly the situation involving Pakistan. But his absence certainly forecloses on that, and I'm saddened by that. Maybe that's a part of being a little too comfortable.
Yes, and I agree with you 100%. Right now, we're going to introduce one of the participating candidates. We have Minnesota 5th Congressional District candidate Lynn Torgerson, who is here with us. And Lynn, tell us about your platform and why you're running for Congress. We have a couple minutes before the live broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you for having me, Mr. Allen and Mr. Edwards. It's a privilege to be here. Yes, my name is Lynn Torgerson. I'm running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District. That includes the Minneapolis and its first ring suburbs. I'm running for Congress in the 5th because I want to keep and protect the freedoms we have in America, the American dream, and the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, did you have a question for Ms. Torgerson?
Your sense as a candidate with respect to the absence of other contenders, do you have an observation?
I don't really have much to say about it, other than I think that the voters are ready for new and additional options as far as candidates go. I think as a general rule, the general population of Republicans and Democrats are all quite great people. I do think the people running the parties tend to be too extreme, and therefore we don't get adequate candidates from either side. So what I'm bringing to the table is a new and better option.
Okay, well, we'd like to thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing you live on the television.
Thank you.
Now we have Mr. Thomas Shrump, who is also a candidate in the Minnesota 5th Congressional District. How are you doing, Shrump?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay, just give us a statement about your candidacy and what's going on with your campaign, and just, you know, take a couple minutes.
Okay. First, I'd like to thank you for hosting this and for presenting this forum. Our country, we're seeing a government that is no longer serving the people. We have too many earmarks and loopholes. We have amendments that are added to bills which have nothing to do with the problem being addressed. We have a national deficit that we just simply should not have. Bills are passed without any sort of cost-benefit analysis. If a bill costs the citizens more than it benefits the citizens, it's detrimental to the citizens. The reason that I'm running is to bring some sort of accountability to the way that we deal with the lawmaking process. We should not accept PAC money. We should not insert loopholes or add earmarks, this type of thing.
Okay, Mr. Evans.
Mr. Trump, do you feel that the 2009 stimulus package was a mistake? Or if not, what is your feeling about that?
Well, it's all of these things, it's a mixed bag. There are certainly a number of people, well, the CBO says that there were several million people that did go to work. And certainly for everybody that did get a job, it was a marvelous thing. The report is that on average those jobs cost $117,000. And I'm sure that those people are not earning or receiving $117,000, but it costs the country that. I think the jury, quite honestly, is out. How long will these jobs last? If they indeed do turn into long-term jobs, perhaps it will be a good thing. But we just really don't know. I'm very skeptical of anything that costs that much.
Thank you. Okay, we thank you for your time, Sean.
You bet.
Coming up next, we have Mr. Michael Kavlin. And it was very interesting because Michael and I were at a meeting where he actually asked Congressman Keith Ellison to appear in a debate with him. And it's on YouTube, but if you go to the IBNN org YouTube channel, you'll actually see that. It was filmed. I filmed it personally. And Congressman Ellison said that, yes, he would show up. But yet we don't see him. But we get emails from his handlers that say he's in Congress for a very important vote today and that, you know, the schedule shows there's Congress is not in session today. So what is your thoughts? And tell us a little bit about your campaign.
First of all, you know, thank you very much for having me here and having us and members of our campaign to have the ability to speak to a broader audience, because that's been one of the things we've been stymied over and over again. In regards to Mr. Ellison and his refusal to have a debate, so just to kind of clarify that, I actually challenged Keith a number of times to have a debate, and his answer is always the same. I am having a debate. I'm answering your question. My question has been, when are we going to have a debate? And that's been his idea of having a debate. Sure, we're debating right now. That's it. Next question, please. So, you know, and I guess if you go to YouTube, even if you just go to YouTube and Google our Google YouTube, Michael Kavlin, Keith Ellison, you'll see there's a number of recordings of that event.
Okay.
And not only of that, but of what I spoke of afterwards on the issue of terrorism and religion, which is what that forum was about.
Yes.
So what the real issue of this is that we need to have an open democratic society where all voices are heard, all perspectives are heard, and we can have, as a broader society, I'm hearing different perspectives so we can actually get to build a better society for ourselves.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Yes.
In light of your comments with respect to the unfortunate decision by the incumbent, two-term
mm-hmm.
incumbent,
mm-hmm.
what is your feeling on term limits?
Well, you know, the real answer to that is that it would be up to we the people to decide whether we should have term limits or not.
Correct.
That would be up to we the people to decide. So if we the people decide that we are tired of career politicians who are usually lawyers, then we should actually – it's our responsibility as citizens to end those term limits by putting pressure on those in office.
Good.
Vote the bums out.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we look forward to the show starting at 7 o'clock. Those of you that are interested in watching this, our national and international listeners, you can go to http://livestream.com/MTN Studios. And we'll announce that a little bit later on. Well, you know, Mr. Edwards, I've been having an ongoing battle with the GOP, 5th Congressional District GOP-endorsed candidate's campaign manager, Jack Tomczak, who feels it's more important to put lawn signs in the Republican like-minded folks' yard than to do a debate. And I asked him today, I said, you know, you really need to come here because you guys have not been seen in this community at all, and and you're just singing to the choir right now. And as we all know, that doesn't work. It only works if you're in church, actually. And sometimes then it doesn't work. And so he's shot a number of things at me, and I just like to, I saw him logged on there. I'd just like to say that, you have an opportunity. The show starts here in the 20 minutes, and we will be glad to let your candidate, Joel E. Demos, be a part of this debate.
Let me ask a question, John, and I'm glad to see that the 5th Congressional Republican chair has logged on. Beautiful. It's kind of like, Big Brother peeking in. But the reason I asked the question of the previous candidate about term limits is that, there's this display of arrogance that one does not have to be answerable. And here's the thing that I kind of want to make a joke about, but it's also a serious thing. I have yet to see a lawn sign that is a report.
Yes.
Okay? A lawn sign means nothing to me. And I think a majority of Americans, then, something that identifies the fact that someone is contesting for something, it certainly does not allow me to examine. And I think one of the things that these three candidates who have come here this evening are certainly representing is the commitment, which is important, to answer the questions and to be examined, if you will. Arrogance, unfortunately, breeds a certain contempt that examinations are no longer in order. And I don't think that that's the thinking of the quote-unquote drafters of the Constitution. We had some reference to the Constitution here in the last couple minutes. I think that their thinking at Independence Hall was that one must be and commit oneself to be examined on the issue and on the proposition. And I'm really disappointed at two major parties. And by the way, let us also let our international and domestic audience know that this is a state in the last 20 years that did elect, in a surprise upset, an independent to the highest executive office in the state, and that was Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a possibility that these things can happen.
Well, yeah, I was just going over the numbers from 2006, 2008 for the 5th Congressional District, and in 2008 you had Barb Davis White with 22% and Keith Ellison with somewhere in the 70s, a little bit over 70%, and this would have been a prime opportunity for, the Republican Party, who does not actually come out into those neighborhoods, i.e. the race between Norm Coleman and Senator Franken. Well, Norm Coleman was responsible for the Somali community coming into the Twin Cities, and he never went back to that community and asked for a vote. They never went into the minority ethnic populations of the Twin Cities, and I'm talking about the Coleman-Franken campaign, 2008, and if you would go to North Minneapolis or if you'd go to the Somali community, you would see Al Franken there every weekend, even during the week, shaking hands, going to the East African restaurants and making the rounds. And I was fortunate enough to be a campaign manager at that time for the GOP-endorsed candidate for the 5th Congressional District for Congress. And I asked him, I said, well, how come I go to these events and I don't see, any representation by the GOP. Mm-hmm. How come you guys won't come into North Minneapolis, the black neighborhood, the Hispanic neighborhood, the Asian neighborhood, the Russian neighborhood, et cetera? And he says, well, we're not going to win the 5th, so, it's not important. So I got
to say the fifth Congressional
District. The 5th Congressional District. Right? And so at one point in July of 2008, I called the Minnesota GOP to set up a meeting with Ron Carey, who at that time was the chair. Secretary got on the phone and says, we understand that you're a campaign manager for the GOP-endorsed candidate for the 5th Congressional District.
This is Barb White.
This is Barb Davis White, and we're going to be busy till after the November elections. We'll have them to get back with you then.
Okay.
And I did not hear from them those months in between. So I knew right then and there that, they were shooting themselves in the foot, as they continue to do in 2010.
Here's the thing that bothers me with respect to the refusal of the two major parties to appear here tonight, and apparently, based on the history, a number of other potential candidates have formed. I had the pleasure of having the then newcomer, Keith Ellison, attorney at law, state representative at that time out of the 58th district, on my program, Black Focus.
Okay.
And through my eyes, I was impressed by his commitment. In fact, I remember the night that he came to the studio to take the program, a one-hour program. He actually made a phone call to a group of librarians in Brooklyn Park indicating to them that he would be late. His staff wanted him to do about an 11-minute piece. I told him we don't do 11-minute pieces here. Okay? That you either you committed for the full 59 or we don't need you. But what happened was one of the things that the congressman said, and we have the tapes in the archives, was that he would always be available. He would always be responsive, if you will. He would never be afraid to speak with his constituency. And I know for a fact that that night, after leaving the taping of my program, he went to Brooklyn Park, met with members of the Liberian and West African community, and reaffirmed that commitment. And so I'm troubled by what apparently has been a little bit of backslide.
Yeah, and well, even to go a little bit further than that, just recently, you know, the report came out from Springboard Community Development Corporation that one of the federal agencies that, you know, Keith could go in or Congressman Ellison could go in and kind of help regulate a little or push him, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, in the last 10 years, they've received over $6 billion for Minnesota's roads, bridges, and highways. Mm-hmm. Yet the minority ethnic population, and now let me qualify that. When I say minority ethnic population, if you are a Caucasian that owns a concrete company in North Minneapolis or South Minneapolis or one of the blighted zones that are designated by HUD or the empowerment zones, I should say, you're in that minority ethnic number.
Mm-hmm.
So out of $6 billion for the last 10 years, the minority ethnic community from MnDOT only received less than a fifth of 1%.
0.256%.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's
right,
it, out of $6 billion. And you know, Congressman Ellison has an opportunity to speak up. So does State Representative Bobby Joe Champion for 58B because he's the vice chair of the Transportation Oversight Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So you have things like that. And I just, you know, I don't see any delivery out of Congressman Ellison. And in all fairness, you know, I think that the people of the 5th Congressional District need to restart the incumbent removal machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important piece. And, you know, tonight we have an opportunity to see and talk to three of the candidates that the mainstream media and corporate campaigns or the mainstream media doesn't look at because they're not a corporate campaign. And we get to hear their voice, get to hear what they have to say.
Let me ask a question on that for the purpose of our dialogue. We've got probably about 11 minutes to. Why, I hate to do this, I know, because it's almost, you know, sacrosanct, et cetera. Why has the League of Women Voters been so mean-spirited towards independent candidates in this state?
You know, I had a lot of dialogues, and I wrote a lot of stories about the League of Women Voters. It seems that the League of Women Voters' idea of a candidate forum, first of all, is to be DFL-friendly. So, like tomorrow night at the Hubert H. Humphrey Center Institute, they're having a political forum. And I actually called and asked them, I said, you know what, I looked at all your speakers, and they're all DFL-friendly, they're all Democrats. I said, when does the other side of the table, the independents, the state women, the independent progressives, the other people get to come to the table and do this voter education? And I got hung up on, actually.
Yes.
It was kind of a high level arrogance.
Okay.
And then I ended up writing a story about it. I said, you cannot, you know, this is trickery, and it's politics, as Russell Simmons calls it in New York from Global Grind, because if you're doing voter education, the grants you get from the federal agencies, the grants that the Minneapolis or the League of Women Voters get says that you are supposed to do voter education. Voting education encompasses a lot of stuff, a lot of different points of views. But consistently, for like the last 10 or 15 years, if you go to one of these forums, you never get the whole picture. You get one side. They're always DFL love fest. And I don't understand that.
Well, here's what bothers me again on that. And it's a part of, again, the importance of history. I had the pleasure of being a part of then Vice President Hubert Humphrey's advanced political team into California in the 1968 presidential election. And one of the things I remembered as kind of like at a rally was the consistent position of the vice president slash senator was that, and I used the word examination earlier,
okay,
that there would always be an opportunity, not only at examination, but also education. And the senator slash vice president was big on the fact of the importance of a level playing field. And maybe the leadership of the League of Women Voters maybe need to go back to the 1968 campaign, go back to the Humphrey archives, if you will, and maybe recapture some of the thinking of a great American, a great Minnesotan with respect to a balanced agenda, if you will, because based on what I've heard you and others say, is that there's a certain level of bias within the League of Women Voters that I think does an injustice to the doctrine of fairness here in Minnesota.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. I'd also like to take time out to say thank you to the National Research Institute, On Point, Blog Talk Radio. We're here downtown Minneapolis, right on the river, St. Anthony Main, at the Minneapolis Television Network Studios. We'd like to thank Ms. Pam Colby, Executive Director of MTN, Ms. Vera Allen, Director of Programming, Hamill, our producer. We have three great cameramen. I didn't even ask them their name. What's your name, sir? They got their headphones on. Don't forget, Joe.
Joe, my man.
We got Joe over here. We have the place is really lit, real nice. Uh-huh. And we have five podiums here in front of us, and three of them will be filled, and two of them will not be filled. But, again, I know that the 5th Congressional District GOP-endorsed candidate and his campaign manager are tuning in, and you have exactly 9 minutes to get here. We will still give you the opportunity to participate. And then if you're not here, we will go into our opening statements. That will be critical of you not being here, you not participating, for both the incumbent and the Republican Party. Any closing words before we go through some local hometown music while we get set up and get ready to broadcast?
Well, I think you indicated we now have approximately 8.5 minutes left.
Yes.
I've always, as a sports fan, believed in OT, overtime.
Yes.
I don't know what Pam's thinking is, but I would not be surprised if she would say that, overtime. You get here on time, you participate in the ball game, okay? You let folks know what your game is,
yes,
if you will. And in the tradition of, I'm going to take you way back, Don.
Okay.
In the tradition of George Mikan, Vern Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
The old Minneapolis Lakers.
You know what I'm saying?
And so it's really unfortunate that at least two of the players, and that's interesting. We have five platforms up there, five dioceses. But we will only have a three-person game.
Yes.
Yeah, and we will lose two of our playmakers, I assume.
Yes, yes. Okay, with that said, we're going to go into some local hometown music here, local hometown artist Prince. But before that, we'll just play some information for you.
Look, this isn't a Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions. I don't give a damn what you think.
Understand, in the future.
Right now we have the candidates up at the podium getting ready. And we just want to give you some of the behind the scenes here of what's going on.
Very good. And then Tom. There we go. Nice.
Yeah, we got the sound effects going there. So, we have 5 minutes.
Reminder to you, Don and Don.
Yes.
Over here.
Yes.
Start a minute before we go live.
Okay.
Whatever. You'll hear music in the room. You'll get a cue from Micah.
Thanks, Micah.
When we bring down the music, and it'll feel natural because you'll hear the music come down.
Yes.
And then we're off the air when that goes to zero.
Okay,
so
got you.
We have to back time a little bit off of there for
yes.
a credit roll.
Yes.
So probably you want to be out around, you see 40 seconds left.
Okay, all right. And
keep an eye on it. It comes down, and then when it goes to zero, it starts counting up again.
Right,
so
okay.
You don't want to get thrown.
And I'd also like to say we'd like to thank our sponsors On Point. Backdoll Moving and Storage, and the credits will show up here on the screen for those that are watching it on television, and the National Research Institute. We'd like to say thank you, and so, yeah, we're ready to go. So we have a pretty smooth format. I'd just like to let the candidates know also that we'll be timing here. When we get to about 10 seconds, I'll probably grab this if it doesn't make any too much noise, And if you feel passionate and you keep going on about something, they'll probably turn the mic off and back. No, just kidding. And we're just going to introductions, and we're just going to open it up right here. And then we're to go down and let's say, you know, Michael Kavlin, Lynn Torleson, and Thomas Schrunk. And then we're to have each of you to take, I think it is 2 minutes, to kind of just introduce yourself. And then we'll go to the first question, which is a platform question. Okay? And we'll let you know how much time you got there. We try to do things in two unless otherwise. We're changed around.
It should be three because 4 minutes
yes.
have been lost.
Okay.
That's right. It should be 3 minutes.
Okay. Okay. It's set to three. Yeah, we'll use up a lot of time then, too. So that's good. That's good. What? Yeah, you can have Keith Slaughter. Hey, Hamill, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Al?
Was that control room?
Yeah. Hey, I just, in the beginning, we're just going to do the introduction right here, and then so they know the candidates. I just want to make sure that you know that this is Michael Kavlin, Lynn Torleson, Thomas Schrunk. Okay? You guys got to, I guess you would do that. Okay, thank you. Just a little housekeeping, as Bobby Joe would say. Tom? Okay. Oh, hey, no problem. I just saw your Facebook page. It says Thomas, so not. Michael?
Michael.
Okay, we got Michael, and then we got Tom. What? And Lynn, you want to be who? What? Yeah, okay. We'll get there eventually. Okay, I had to take my watch off because it makes a lot of noise, and we are still broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. It is 6:58, and we have a couple of minutes, 6:59, 1 minute till showtime, and he has started the clock.
1 minute.
I'm going to start off on the I'll do this, and then go to you, and then you go back, and then I'll read it. Okay, thank you. We'd like to welcome Tony Backdoll on Blog Talk Radio. Are you queuing me up?
It's 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, and welcome to the 2010 Minnesota 5th Congressional Debate. My name is Don Allen. I'm with the Independent Business News Network. With me tonight is my co-host, Mr. Ron Edwards.
Thank you, Don. And I am the host of Black Focus here at MTN, and we are very appreciative of Billy being here in the corporate offices and studios of Minneapolis Television Network. So that the viewing audience understands, we extended an invitation to everyone that is a candidate for the 5th congressional seat. Unfortunately, the Democrats and Republicans chose not to attend this particular debate and share with us and with you, most importantly, the viewing audience, their thoughts, their thinking, their platform, and whatever else. We were greatly disappointed in the decline by the current two-term incumbent, because we thought that there were specifically some questions that we really wanted to ask as it pertains to the international agenda. But for whatever reason, the current two-term incumbent decided that this program, this live telecast, was not worthy of his presence.
And I would just like to expound on the Minnesota GOP-endorsed candidate, Joel Demos, not being here today. The Republican Party of Minnesota and the 5th Congressional District Republicans are on life support. They are in need of resuscitation. They choose to sing to the choir and not participate or go down into the community, into the trenches, and do something different. The invitation was extended, and haven't gotten a yes or no, just a lot of static. But with that said, we're going to move on with the candidates that have graced us with their presence here tonight. And on your viewing right, we have Mike Kavlin, who's running as an independent progressive. We have Lynn Torgelson in the center, running as a stateswoman. And we at the end, we have Thomas Strunk, or Tom Strunk, who's running with the Independence Party. All three of these candidates are on the ballot. And starting off, we'd like, starting with Mr. Kavlin, we'd like you to take some time and tell us about your platform.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, and thank you for being able to address the problem here. And I have, most importantly, people of the 5th District here, the people who are trying to elect, and the views that you need to have heard this morning. My name is Michael Kavlin, and I am very proud of independent, very proud of progressive. I'm also a registered nurse. I've been quite frankly, a decades-long media activist and peace and justice activist who had watched our country spiraling out of control. To quote the famous journalist Greg Palast, who is, by the way, a journalist who cannot get a job in the United States, he works for the BBC, we have the best democracy money can buy. And that's actually a big real problem. We have a democracy which is bought and sold by major corporations. On top of which, we have, again, quite frankly, given the fact that our Democrats and our Republican friends are not here at the moment, we as a nation need to realize that the Democrats and Republicans are working together. They put up, as I see, and as many of us see, put up a pseudo-opposition to each other while behind doors and secret meetings and smoky halls, they make their own deals. So I'm here as a candidate to expose that. And I can guarantee you that when I get to Washington, D.C., I will expose the corruption for what it really is. And I will stand up for the beauty of the American people who are all.
Okay, thank you. Lynn Torgelson, please.
Good evening. My name is Lynn Torgelson, and I'm running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District. That includes the beautiful city of Minneapolis and its first ring suburbs. I want to give you a little bit of background on myself. I was born and raised in the Minneapolis and suburban area. I attended the University of Minnesota. I got degrees in political science and psychology. After that, I attended law school at Williams College. While there, I was on law review and graduated with honors. Subsequent to law school, I had a job with the Honorable Ralph J. Geffen, a federal magistrate for the United States District Court, Central District of California. After being out there for a few years, I returned to Minneapolis and founded my own law practice downtown Minneapolis, and I've been running my own successful law practice for the past 15 years. I do want to mention that for the past 20 years as a lawyer, I have devoted my life to protecting the civil and constitutional rights of people of all races, all nationalities, and all religions, and I wish to continue doing that in Congress. I also want to mention that I'm running as an independent without any party affiliation. I've always been friends with people of all different sorts of types of groups. I have been friendly with and have friends who are Democrats, Republicans, Greens, etc. So I feel that that would be a good option to bring to the table in this congressional election cycle. I am running for Congress because I want to keep and protect America's freedom, the American dream, and the U.S. Constitution. America is not perfect, but it's definitely the best, safest, and most prosperous country on earth, and that is worth keeping and protecting. I also want to wake up America to the threat of political, ideological Islam. This is different than the religion part of Islam, which is the religion part of Islam is the worship of the moon god Allah. Only a small part of Islam, however, is religion, and the rest is Islamic Sharia law. And as far as Islamic Sharia law is concerned, that is a hostile political ideology that is at odds with our U.S. Constitution.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Trunk, please.
Hello, I'm Tom Trunk, and I'm the fighting candidate for the East Coast Congressional District. I'm an artist, a former Peace Corps volunteer. We have too many remarks and loopholes in our laws. We have toxic hyper-partisanship that prevents laws from going forward that should. We have laws which benefit only those that have access to Congress. And in Nero, where we see a 400-to-1 differential between people who are doing the job and the executives, we can ask ourselves, which of those that have access to Congress? One of the things that I would say about the people that are running for Congress, in terms of the Democrats and Republicans, you'll hear from them how moderate they are, how independent they are. One of the things we should ask ourselves is take a look at the platforms that they put forward. How close are they to the actual, to the current orthodox position of their party?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you. In light of your candidacy and in light of the unfortunate historical struggle for the quote-unquote minor parties as defined to get the kind of recognition, but more importantly, the respect, could you share with us in the 3 minutes allocated your thoughts on your relationship with the media and how the media has handled your candidacy and your campaigns, as well as the role of the League of Women Voters in facilitating a fair and valid playing field.
And we'll start with Mr. Mike Kavlin.
Again, I speak to the executive on the Congressional Black Caucus, and I and those of us who are part of the non-corporate part of the system, National Republicans, have been experiencing on a regular basis what we like to call political bigotry of exclusion. So that's the best and most simple response that I put. We are all here on the ballot. We fought hard in our various respective places to get on that ballot and to have our rights, to have our views heard, and more importantly, our constituents. And yet we're being excluded everywhere. In regards to the ideals of third party movements, we need to realize that this country has been based upon a lot of our social progress as a nation, has been built upon in large part on the fact of third party movements.
I give you Exhibit A, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was a third-party activist who fought, like I said, the Whigs and the Democrats. He fought on the issue of the ending of slavery, and his party eventually did come to power. So third-party movements have always moved this country forward as a part of that broader social movement. The advances made on Social Security, health care, issue, women's rights, women's suffrage, has been based upon, in part, on the idea of allowing the voices and visions of third-party activists. In regards to the League of Women Voters, I will tell you, I find that especially distressing because I went to their office and they have stuff on the wall talking about the women's suffrage movement. And they made an important point of pointing out that it was men standing shoulder to shoulder with women in their right to have the right to vote. And yet they are now themselves, as an organization, practicing their own naked political bigotry. I will tell you that, and I'll be very honest with you all, I actually expect our campaign to do very, very well. The betrayals of the Democratic and Republican parties together is making a lot of people very angry. I expect our campaign to do very, very well, a lot better than expected. Maybe, God help us all actually win. I look forward with great joy to how the Star Tribune, WCCO, ASTP, and all of the corporate media outlets, how are we going to react to a candidate and campaign statement huge talk about actually winning an election? So that's my answer.
Thank you. Mr. Ferguson?
Thank you. I don't have a whole lot to say on this issue, but we have gotten a fair amount of media coverage on the radio. I believe that we, on the campaign, has had a lot of good coverage in the 5th Congressional District. And we are planning on victory one way or the other, and we could win voter movements in that. That's just one state. There's other debates, there's other forums. The League of Women Voters, I think by not including all candidates on the ballot and finally in its own mission statement, it states that it's not going to favor or oppose any particular candidate, and that its mission is to educate voters and all candidates. So clearly by not including all candidates in a debate sponsored by the Women Environment and Mission Statement, which I think calls into question their integrity, and I think it opens the door for somebody to come in and fill that spot with integrity. And that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom, please.
Please. I am somebody actually was included in the League of Women Voters KSCP debate. It was paper on September 23rd. I was included because the rules as they outlined them were those invited had to be endorsed by a major party. There are three major parties according to Minnesota State designation. And each of the candidates had to have at least a vacuum of 5% of the electorate. I don't know if all this has been done at that point, but at any rate, I was allowed to be there, and I was told it was done by law. One of the things that, as to how well they're fulfilling their statement, that I'm to speak to, but I will say, as a Peace Corps volunteer, I've worked in areas where freedom of the press has not been universally adhered to. Freedom of the press, to me, is the very best guarantor of democracy. If we have an informed electorate, then we're going to have a much better government. And I thank you for hosting this forum.
Well, thank you. Now we're going to move into the kind of a debate phase. I would like to give each one of the candidates the opportunity to ask the other two candidates a question. In this case, we're going to start from the other end, from our viewing left with Tom Schrunk. We'd like you to ask Ms. Lynn Torgelson and Mr. Mike Calvin a question that they will answer. They each have 3 minutes to answer the question, and we will then move down the line and let each candidate ask the other two candidates a question. Thank you.
Thank you. I have, as part of my campaign, I pledge to the 10 points that I believe are the fundamentals for how a legislator can be back in our resolve. And I'm going to be asking my compatriots here, various parts of this pledge to the citizens and if their response to those to vote to support this or not. When judges recuse themselves before hearing the case, if they or someone they know have discretion in the system, and this is to do justice for all that are involved, I feel we should ask the same of our legislators. My pledge is, I will recuse myself from sponsoring, voting on, or adding amendments to any legislation which directs benefits to anyone who gives more money than that allowed by the ordinary group. We oppose.
I guess I don't fully understand the question.
The ordinary citizen is allowed 2,400 government donations. We see PACs, we see a lot of good ways to get more money to Congress, to legislators, than is allowed by the, than is the limit for the ordinary citizen. This corruption is a strong word to use, but nothing else really describes this, this facet of the way that our government. I think it's my experience to stop, and this is my way of saying, let's stop it here. Let's draw a line in the sand. That someone, if any corporation, any individual is trying to find, let's recuse ourselves from doing anything having to do with that law.
I will respond to this again. I still don't fully understand the question. I don't have a problem accepting money from PACs, if that's what you're talking about. PACs are political action committees. Frequently, PACs, political action committees, support candidates who have similar interests and to help, if I stand for a particular position, people are going to support me, and they're going to donate to my campaign. So I don't plan, because I believe in those issues, just because people support me through political action committees and things of that nature, I wouldn't recuse myself from voting on laws in that regard. I don't think that that's really possible as a legislature, because our job is to draft laws and vote for them or against them. I would note, however, that I'm not a person who can be bought. I'm a stateswoman, as versus a politician. A stateswoman is somebody who stands for something, for what is right, regardless of the cost. I believe that the positions that I've taken in my platform actually establish that. So that's the best answer that I can give.
Okay. Mike Kaplan, would you like to respond to that question?
I'd love to respond to that question. And Tom, I understand your question exactly. And again, to quote from the best journalist that this country will ever hire, Greg Paulus, we have the best democracy that money can buy. I will take your statement legally a step further. I refuse to accept PACs. I refuse to accept PAC money. We're going to send a new PAC or give our campaign money. Specifically because we're opposed to the issue of corporate corruption of our democracy. And to even go a step further than that, one of the groups of PACs is trade unions. And I'm saying this as a trade union activist. And I'm watching these trade union PACs continue to back the Democratic Party, while the Democratic Party is shooting them in the back. From the, not back in the Free Employment Act, to the end of Taft-Hartley, issue after issue after issue, NAFTA, GATT, the IMF, all these issues that are very important to trade union activists, and yet the trade union PACs will not back independent candidates. So I actually put it a step further. I say this should be the responsibility of the members of those organizations, not the acts themselves who decided the money, but the members themselves, contributing to whoever should be supporting this campaign. So I refuse PACs as a matter of guiding principle because I do not want this pseudo democracy we have in the corrupted and further.
Thank you, Mr. Kaplan. Ms. Torgerson, your question for both the candidates, and we'll have Mr. Mike Kaplan respond first, and then Tom Shrunk follow up after that. Thank you.
Well, I do want to, I guess I don't have a particular, my particular question is actually for Mr. Ellison.
Feel free. Feel free, please.
Mr. Ellison has associated himself with the Council on American Islamic Relations, whose leaders and stands, which is spelled C-A-I-R and stands for the Council on American Islamic Relations. The leaders and founders have been quoted as saying things like, Muslims who stay in America should be open to society without melting, keeping mosques open so anyone can come and learn about Islam. If you choose to live here, you have a responsibility to deliver the message of Islam. Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. So my question to Mr. Ellison is, what should be supreme, what law should be supreme in the United States? Should it be the U.S. Constitution, which is the foundation of the United States, or should it be Sharia law, given that that's the position in the United States, or his political ideology, or Sharia law, and his political who he associates himself with?
Okay, since Mr. Ellison is not here, Congressman Ellison is not here, are there any thoughts from either the other two candidates on the subject or this question that Ms. Torgerson posed to Congressman Ellison? I will start with you, Mr. Mike Kaplan.
Mr. Ellison, to my right here, has a comment on the question.
Okay.
I will be actually very happy about the question. The way that you may not like to hear, when I use this, please let me encourage the strength and the trigger to say your speech. Here's the piece. I just returned just now from a rally four blocks that way at the FBI headquarters because the FBI has been targeting peace activists in this town. They've been targeting peace activists standing up the issue of cost of human rights, rights of people in Columbia, Georgia, trade unions, and others. And I say that we need to stand up for everybody's right. More than that, quite frankly, and I say this as somebody who is very proud Irish American. I'm an Irish American who's a Catholic, who actually lived in Northern Ireland, who has lived in a society which has suffered from political and religious bigotry. But I think we stand for all forms of bigotry and intolerance, be they religious or be they political. So I will fight for the rights of all Americans to be heard. And quite frankly, to hear terms like this being used is repulsive to me as an individual, as an Irish Catholic, and as an American citizen. I think that we have the right to stand for all Americans. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights is not just for good white Christians. It's the Constitution for the people of the United States of America, and that's why it's proudly to stand up and defend for all of us.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas Schrank.
I am elected as a big oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Kaplan, do you have a question for the other two candidates?
Absolutely. And again, given what I just said about just coming from the rally, for peace and justice actors who are being targeted by the FBI, as we speak on this day, we do a grand jury hearing, which where you have your rights thrown out as human beings and as activists. My question is, I'm asking each of our people here now, if you're elected to Congress, will you stand up and defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for all Americans? Regardless of whatever views they have, do you believe that it's only a Constitution Bill of Rights for people of your political persuasion and your particular religious views, or all Americans have a right to have a Constitution Bill of Rights?
Then we'll start with Ms. Lynn Torgerson, please.
Thank you for that question, Mr. McCallum. I want to respond to this in what I feel is kind of my part of my platform is to educate the public on the issue of political ideological Islam. All of Islam is not religion. Only a part of Islam is religion, and it's the worship of the Holy God Allah. The remainder of Islam is actually known as Sharia law, and it is not religion, and it is not protected from the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And I need to reiterate that I have been defending the Constitution for over 20 years in my practice of law. So what I'm talking about is not the religion part of Islam, but the political, ideological part of Islam. And it's important because of the world's 1.2 billion Muslims, approximately it's estimated that 12 to 15% have been radicalized. This is, comes up to a rough number of 150 million radicalized Muslims. That is roughly half of the entire, half the population of the entire United States. And we need to recognize that radical Islam comes in two forms. One is standard terrorism, one is planes, trains, and automobiles. The other part is more hidden, and some people refer to it as self-jihad. We have radical Islamists moving to the United States, getting jobs, becoming involved in politics, and their desire is to take over the United States from within. They wish to eliminate our cherished U.S. Constitution as well as our other freedoms and replace them with Sharia law. Sharia law is one of the most intolerant forms of government in existence. Radical Islamists need to be exposed and stopped, and I'm the person to do this, not the incumbent, the elephant, who actually closely associates himself with radical Islamists and the aimed co-conspirators to fund terrorism. Specifically, he helped charity funds and care helped the elephantry funds, and CARE was the main co-conspirator funding terrorism in the recent Holy Land trial down in Texas. They were convicted of sending $12 million to the terrorist organization Hamas. So what I am talking about has nothing to do with race or religion. It has to do with the hostile political ideology called Sharia law.
Mr. Tom Trump, please.
I spent 2 years in India with the Peace Corps. I was raising chickens for John Kennedy, as we would say. During that time, I worked with Hindus, Sikhs, Jains, Muslims, Christians, Parsis, you name it. My purpose in being there was not to represent the United States government. My job was to be an American citizen, very helping. It did not make any difference at all in the person's religion, the color of their skin, nothing mattered except the job that I was assigned to do there. That is the same job that a congressman has. The oath is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. The United States is composed of Christians, Hindus, Muslims, Jains, Sikhs, Jews, all races, all religions. They're all equal American citizens. So all get my support.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you. This question was initially crafted for the member of the Foreign Relations Committee, who unfortunately is not able to be with us tonight for whatever reason. I will start at this end. Given the current crises, specifically in the Middle East, also given the worldwide alert to possible extremist activity, what do you see, if elected, the relationship between the American government and the sovereign nation of Pakistan in the future? Thomas?
Thank you for the question. I've been in Pakistan. In fact, I speak Urdu as well as Hindi. It's a very complex situation. It's gotten much more complex
there a number of years ago. Radical Islam is something that we really must pay attention to. Nuclear-powered countries with nuclear weapons, we must treat in a special way. These people are our allies. They must remain our allies. The consequences of not dealing effectively with their needs mean that they will not help us deal with our needs.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Torres.
Thank you. The relations between the United States and Pakistan in recent history has dramatically improved. I think we've got a great idea to continue to do that. It is a sovereign nation. They can pretty much decide whatever they wish to do. I do think it's important to recognize that we have different governments. I guess I'm kind of leaning towards, with respect to America in general, given some of the hardships people are going through now, it seems kind of more protective of American interests. But certainly I support a friendly relationship with the Pakistani government.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, when you talk about the issue of sovereign nations and other countries and obligations, first of all, in specific regards to Pakistan, we should remember that Pakistan has been our ally when they were military dictatorship under General Lieutenant Sharif. More importantly, and I speak of somebody who, again, who can speak very personally on the issue of terrorism, and the cause of terror, it's so easy to denigrate the other being dirty rotten terrorists and dirty rotten Muslim terrorists in order to turn into you. We then look at the real central issue that drives the issue of terrorism. One of the reasons that these countries and these groups hate us, and by the way, we did support the Taliban. We supported the Taliban in the 1980s. We gave them military weapons, we gave them because we were using them. The simple fact of the matter is that these groups hate us, not because they hate our freedom, it's a great buzzword, but because our government, with your money and my money, our tax money, gives money to regimes like, for instance, the apartheid-like regime of Israel, like the brutal regime of Egypt, like regime after regime after regime. We give it military weaponry, Saudi Arabia, Iran just got another, I think we're like $60 million in claims and weaponry from us. Our government gives money to human rights abusers. That's the root cause of terrorism. And that's our direct link to issues of terrorism. I can guarantee you all that as a member of Congress, I will not give one thin penny of our money to any regime that brutalizes its own people or other people. Get to the root cause of terrorism instead of dancing around pretending that they hate us because of our creeds. They don't. They hate us because our money is being used to kill other innocent human beings on the planet.
A second part to that, I appreciate the response, and we will, on this particular question, start with Ms. Torgelson. There has been discussion this evening with respect to the threat by international Islam against the welfare and the safety and the Constitution of the United States. About 7 years ago, there was great discussion about a program called Rendition. This question was also going to be asked of a former member of the Judiciary Committee of the United States House of Representatives, who unfortunately is not with me. Ms. Torres, we will start with you. If elected to the Congress of the United States, what would be your official position on the program entitled Rendition?
No, I'm not familiar with the details of that.
Rendition was a program initiated by the Bush administration and highlighted by then Secretary. Yes, in which individuals who were thought to be enemies of the state were herded like cattle around the world to be interrogated, sometimes by methods contrary to the laws, stated laws of the United States of America. Torture, specifically torture. And so that was the program known as Rendition. And so my position is with you as a member of the House of Representatives in the United States Congress, be prepared to repeal that specific law and specific program.
I would also like to mention that I do not agree with the causes of terrorism. I think if you look around the world, in many countries which have nothing to do with the United States, people in the Sharia law are killing each other. It has nothing to do with anything that is missing.
Program. But Mr. Cal.
Actually, Israel is not part of the rendition program. It's like usually countries like Egypt, Jordan, and other countries which actually do torture their political prisoners at the direction of the U.S. State Department. Like I say, the rendition program started, which is, by the way, itself is a violation of the Constitution. Start from that place. It was instituted under the Clinton administration. The then authorized and used fully under the Bush administration and is now being used and continued under the Obama administration right now. And by the way, just for the record, some people think that Israel isn't a racist apartheid state. Well, Bishop Desmond Tutu, who fought apartheid in South Africa, thinks otherwise. And I like to think that his opinion is much more credible than a white, comparable, privileged, middle-class white person in North Minneapolis. So we'll just get that out of the way. I hold that Israel is a racist state. But anyway, the issue of rendition, I will fight a tooth and nail. Because our government has been actually sending out secret camps in places like Bagram Air Force Base, where they're torturing people right now. They've been doing it in Iraq. They continue to send people to these other countries to do even worse torture. So as a member of Congress, I will not just fight against rendition. I will expose the people in Congress who say in words like they support and defend the Constitution while they actually destroy it themselves. When I say we defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, what I'm saying is we need to defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Quite frankly, many members of our own Congress are enemies of the Constitution right now. And we need to start taking this very, very deadly seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Schrock, Ms. Schrock?
I would just follow up with what Michael was saying. Our Congress is conscious and unconscious. Undertaking acts and actions which undermine our
democracy and this country's future. If elected to Congress, I would absolutely do everything that I could to stop rendition. This is not pointed out. It is unconstitutional. We will take an oath. An oath is sacred to uphold and defend the Constitution.
Okay. Thank you. Right before we get to the closing statements from each one of the candidates, I'd like to ask you a question. It'd take you less than 10 seconds to answer. It's kind of something that we're just going to throw in there. If you were not running for Congress, or since you are, we'll just say since you are, let me rephrase that. If you were not running for Congress, which one of the other candidates did you vote for on November 2nd? And we'll start with you, Mr. Mike Kaplan.
If you were talking about the evil of two lessers, or I'm sorry, did I say the lesser of two evils?
Yeah.
Actually, Tom's a wonderful gentleman. I would probably, if I was not running, I'd be on this.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Torgerson, please.
You know, I'm a competitor. I'm running.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Schrunk, please. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to go into the last session here. We'll give you 3 minutes each to do some closing statements before we close out the show here and announce the meet and greet tonight. That'll be at J.D. Hoyt's at 8:30, directly after the broadcast here. But we'll start with Mr. Tom Schrunk, and we're going to let you start with your closing statements.
That bill is detrimental to the citizens. We pass law after law without any cost-benefit analysis. Cost-benefit analysis under Presidents Reagan and Clinton have been required of the agency. It's not required of the legislature. A legislature can do whatever it gets by with. So this is not good enough for the future of our country. I have a son, he's 28 years old. I really want to see Social Security be there for him when it's time for him to retire. It won't happen under the current legislature that we have. 111th Congress passed the bill to recognize the Greek letter Pi, and it also established National Water Month Week. Nothing about Social Security. We need to be much, much more analytical about the way that we approach the task of lawmaking because it is so fundamentally important. Before, number two of my 10 points in my pledge to the citizens, before voting on any proposed legislation, I will seek the analysis of nonpartisan experts on the subject and pull those findings above political consideration. If you feel that partisan politics is beneficial to the future of this country, then you should continue to vote for those who have brought us to where we are. I reject partisanship. If I am elected congressman, your representation in Washington, D.C. will change as both political parties will be interested in receiving both of the congressmen from the Indianapolis. It is my intention to be the steward in the fullest possible sense of the word for the citizens of the 5th District of Minneapolis and of the American people.
Thank you. Ms. Lynn Torgerson, please, closing statement.
Thank you. You're
welcome.
Our founding fathers founded this nation on the U.S. Constitution, the guide for the U.S. Constitution, and they also enacted the Bill of Rights. And one of those, before I move on to a lighter topic, I do want to also address our First Amendment right to freedom of speech and the concern of racism on infringing on this right. Recently, the adult cartoon show South Park created a program where they portrayed Muhammad in a bear suit. As a result, radical Islamists issued death threats to the makers of South Park. In consequence, the makers of South Park pulled or canceled that cartoon show.
This constitutes actual infringement in the United States on our First Amendment freedom of speech. This needs to be reversed and stopped. We can never not do anything out of fear to that business. And I'm the person to elect to protect these freedoms, not our opponents, the thousands who actually associate themselves with main open theories and conservatives. On a lighter note, we in America need to develop clean energy. We need to develop our sun, wind, water, and geothermal resources. This would help create clean jobs, it would improve the economy, it would improve the environment, and it would reduce our dependence on foreign oil. And we need to reduce that dependence on foreign oil. The bank will spend approximately $400,000 a minute on foreign oil. I also would like to mention that I am pretty green, liberal on energy and storage, and I think we need more labeling with respect to food. I oppose genetically altered foods, corn, beef, things like that. So vote for me, Lynn Torgerson, next month, November 2nd, and help me and join my campaign to protect America. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Ms. Torgerson. Mike Calvin, please.
Thank you, gentlemen, for this opportunity to speak. You know, here's the bottom line. There are two groups of people right now who are destroying our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and destroying our country while all of that. They are called Democrats and Republicans, who have both chosen not to be here. I can guarantee you that as a member of the Congress, I will stand up and fight to end this rot and war, not with pretty words, but with actions. I will block funding the war. I will expose those in Congress for their secret meetings and refuse to end this rotten, illegal violation of international law, which is the wars. Further, if I was to get into Congress and become part of the Judiciary Committee, which our esteemed colleague, who chose not to be here, I would, unlike others, I would fight as a member of the Judiciary Committee to ensure that any elected official violates the Constitution is indeed impeached. There was talk of the impeachment peace movement on having the most illegal, corrupt administration in our nation's history, the Bush administration. Our esteemed colleague, who chose not to be here, was on that committee. Did nothing. Also, speaking as a registered nurse, I will stand up and I will fight. Fight hard, long, and without taking any airplane rides like Dennis Kucinich. I will fight for universal, single-payer health care, everybody in, everybody out. Because, quite frankly, that's the only way we're going to move forward as a nation with health care, with the health care issue. The way to get us back financially is to end the wars. Also, I will fight to the death to fight the Constitution and Bill of Rights for all of us as American citizens. We've had for so long, we've had elected officials who tell us pretty words about what they're going to do and build these fine images of things like hope and change. And then they get into office, and the system is so corrupted to its very core, that we talked about earlier, Tom. It's so corrupted to its very core. These people either are there because they will go along and get along, or that they're actually placed there to try and make us think that we have a democracy. I will stand up and help us together, we the people, build a true democratic republic so that we can have something for ourselves, for our children, and for our children's children. If we don't, we're in serious trouble. I'm Michael Cavill, vote for Cavill, promise, for courage. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We'd like to take this time and thank all the candidates here for participating. We had Michael Cavlin tonight, Ms. Lynn Torgerson, and Mr. Tom Trunk. We appreciate you guys joining us tonight. We'd also like to thank the National Research Institute for helping us to prepare the questions on point. Ron Edwards and I have an online radio program every Saturday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio called On Point, which will be on the air this Saturday, and hopefully we can get some of the candidates to call in. We'd also like to thank Backdoll Moving and the executive director here of Minneapolis Television Network, Ms. Pam Colby. We'd like to thank her. We'd like to thank Hamill, the director, and also the director of programming, Ms. Vera Allen. We'd like to thank her for scheduling this time. Usually this particular time of day, there are other programs on this fine station, and they were kind enough to let us come in tonight and have this special date. Mr. Edwards.
I want to concur with the accolade, but I specifically want to single out Pam Copeland. I don't think that we have an appreciation, and I was one of the individuals who helped draft the franchise agreement that created MTN many years ago. Pam Colby has been a true soldier. I don't want to militarize this, but she has been a true soldier. She has been a true fighter for freedom of speech. And I would have thought that in that regard, there would have been a little bit more of a consideration and respect for her and this organization and everyone who was invited attending this political panel to convince the voters of the 5th Congressional District that they were worthy of their vote and their consideration. There's always a person, and Pam Comey is that person, who stands out and continues to carry the beacon of free speech. And I want to thank her.
Thank you. You can also see Mr. Edwards here every Sunday at 5 p.m. on the Minneapolis Television Network, Channel 17 for Black Focus. And my name is Don Allen. I'm with the Independent Business News Network, and that URL is www.ibnnnews.com. Check it out. You'll find out what's going on in town. Again, we'd like to thank our candidates, Mr. Michael Cavlin, Ms. Lynn Torgelson, and also Mr. Tom Trunk. Directly after the broadcast, this is a live broadcast today, directly after the broadcast, we will be having a meet and greet for about an hour or so at J.D. Hoyt's on 3rd and Washington in downtown Minneapolis. Everyone's invited, and we'd like to thank everyone for viewing our listening audience on Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in also. This is the 2010 Minnesota 5th Congressional District Debate. I'm Don Allen, Mr. Ron Edwards, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank all our listeners on Blog Talk Radio for tuning in tonight. We appreciate our international, national listeners. And tune in Saturday at 4 p.m. to Blog Talk Radio's On Point with Don Allen and Ron Edwards. We're going to try to have some of the candidates on and go into a little bit in-depth conversations and maybe interview them at the start of the show. And I have them all here, so I give them the number. I'll email them. We'll talk to them later. And, again, thank you for tuning in.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.